Psalm chapter 12. We'll read the psalm. Here's just 8 verses. The Bible says here, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips, and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips, and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Who has said, with our tongue we will prevail, our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy. Now will I rise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him." The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of the earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. We started here last week in Psalm chapter 12, and we said we divided it up in 3 points, and that was verses 1 and 2 was David's plea. We talked about that last week. And this week we'll start with God's promise, which is found which covers verses 3 through 7, and then evil's principle we see in verse 8. We'll not go over everything we talked about last week in the plea, but it's David calling out to the Lord, and there's certainly a call here for help for David from the Lord, or for the Lord to help him in this situation that he's in. And we said that, you know, it comes on the heels of Psalm chapter 11. And if you remember, as we went through there, and we entitled that one to stay the course, that we should stay the course. And David was staying the course, and he was strong there in chapter number 11 to stay the course, not to flee to the mountain. But yet, I don't know in time-wise how far these two Psalms are apart, but nonetheless, here David finds himself again in a place where he needs God's help. And each and every one of us know that each and every day we need God's help. There's never a time that we don't need God's help. There's never a time when we go through things in our lives as Christians. If you don't know the Lord, this isn't you can get something from this, but you need to know the Lord. And I'm hopefully speaking to a crowd of people here that know the Lord. But as we know the Lord in our Christian walk with God, we're going to face things. We'll face trials and temptations. Things will come our way. That's from God's word. That's not just what we're saying here. But things will come our way. And I know myself, and to speak for myself, my wife, my family, been through many things over the years, and you know, God has been faithful to bring us through each and every one. But yet, you know, there are those times where it looks like, you know, we've come through whatever it is, that the trial, the test, whatever that we may be going through, and you get to a point where you're like, okay, God's brought us through that. And you know, that's not a time to kick back and relax. That's not a time to you know, put your feet up and get the remote in your hand, or you know, we don't even get the remote in our hand anymore. We just sit there, you know, with our feet up with the phone in front of us. But you know, it's not a time to relax. Now, there's nothing wrong with relaxing. There's nothing wrong with it. The Bible tells us that sometimes we have to come apart. You know, even Jesus came apart to spend time with the Father. And there'll be times like that where we've come through something, but it's not a time to let our guard down. There's always something coming up, and we see that in David's life over and over again as we go from one psalm to the next. The fact that things happened in his life that drawed him a closer to God, and the you can see through his writings here that he you know, he was drawing nigh to God. He needed God's help. And, you know, as we read through the Psalms, you can see that over and over again. I never see in the Psalms, and if I do as we go through them, I'll let you know, but I've never seen in the Psalms where David was proud or belligerent that he could do it on his own. But yet he needed the Lord, and he said, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men." And we know that David is saying here that it seems like everybody around us is failing, and we'll touch on that as we go on through here. And it says they speak vanity, those that were, it says here, "For the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men." And why do they fail? They fail because they speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. And that's where we left off last week, was talking about them having a double heart and not having a heart for the Lord, single-minded and single-hearted for the Lord. So we talked about David's plea, and then we'll move on to God's promise. We see here in verses 3 through 7, where it says, "The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips, and the tongue that speaketh proud things, who has said with our tongue, we will prevail, our lips are our own, who is Lord over us." Is that not cut out of the newspaper today? That they're going to say what they want to say, when they want to say it, where they want to say it. They're not, they have nothing, you know. The Bible says the fool has said in their heart, in his heart, there is no God. They have no respect at all for the Lord. They don't recognize him. They say here, "Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us?" There's no one over us. We're our own God. We're our own people. "For the oppression," verse 5, "for the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I rise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him." You know, we as we look at this, we see that God answered David's plea that we talked about last week, and he promised action to remedy the evil situation which David was in here in Psalm chapter 12. He answers his plea in the first two verses, but yet now he comes forward with a promise to take care of his own. You know, as I study through this, and I kept looking at verses 1 and 2, and I wondered as it says there, "The faithful fail from among the children of men." And we talked about last week about those that would fail or those that would fall aside. And, you know, these were people that David knew. It said, "The godly man ceaseth." It seemed that no godly men were around him. And I asked the question last week, as times get worse, as times get harder, will we fail? Will we be the ones that David was talking about? I pray that we're not. I pray that we stand for him, for the Lord. Part of God's promise here in verses 3 through 7, we'll look at several things as we look at the promise. And the first one we see here is there is punishment within this promise. Said the Lord, verse 3, "The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things." You know, God is answering David's prayer right off the bat here as he asks for help in verse 1, and he explains what's going on in verses 1 and 2. And then the Lord steps in. The Lord will cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. That's what David was talking about in the first two verses. But as we see that there's a punishment within this promise, God will punish those who speak with flattering lips. Such vile tongues that they speak with flattering lips and a proud tongue. The Bible says the word flattering, I looked that up, it means smoothness. I thought about that, and I thought, where's the smoothness in the Bible? And you can turn over with me to Isaiah chapter 30. Look at two verses there. Verse that's been quoted many times by many, many preachers, but I see something there in those verses that I want you to see. In verse 10, it said, "Why say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not? Prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us." Isaiah is talking here about those that would lead and what the people wanted, that those false prophets would give them. They would speak unto them smooth things. And that's flattering lips that David's talking about here. Smooth things. They didn't want the preaching of the Word of God. They wanted smooth things. Folks, many times what we say from up here is not smooth things. It's not stuff to make you feel good. Many times it hurts. And I know that. It may come from me. It may come from pastor. It may come from anyone that stands here with the Word of God. Sometimes it hurts. But you know, that's comforting to know when it hurts. You know that you're one of God's children. You know that He's speaking to your heart. You know that He's concerned about your life. He doesn't want us to have flattering lips. He doesn't want the preacher who stands before us to have flattering lips. In Psalm chapter 5, we covered this quite some time ago. But Psalm chapter 5 and verse 9 says, "There is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue." Is that not what David was talking about up in Psalm chapter 12 as we go back there? God will punish those who flatter with their lips, those who lie and prophesy deceits. We're not going to turn there, but we could go over to Revelation and see the very end of all things. In fact, in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 8, where it talks about all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. We see that as a presumptuous tongue, and then we see a proud tongue in verse 3. The second part of verse 3 says, "The tongue that speaketh proud things." Pride and flattery go hand in hand. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 10 says, "When pride cometh, then cometh shame." You know, we're not going to go down the whole pride route, but the Lord doesn't want us to be proud. He would rather want us to be thankful for what we have. You know, it's a thing. It's an American thing. I'm sure, and I am sure that it happens in other countries too. You know, I just recently seen a little clip of someone in Poland, and you think about Poland. When do you hear something about Poland? You know, but they were talking about the illegals that were coming into their country and what was going on. And the man, they were interviewing this man, and they said, the lady said to him, "Well, you seem very racist in that." And he said, "I'm not racist. We have a policy. We protect our country." They didn't want those, they didn't mind, just like we don't mind here, have people immigrating to our country, but doing it the right way. And so I would say, you know, not to get too far off the subject, but being proud. This man was proud. There was nothing wrong with what he had to say. He was proud to be from Poland. I don't know. what do they call it? Do they call people from Poland Polacks? We always had the Polak jokes years ago. Hope there's no Polish people here. I don't mean to offend you. But what I'm saying is there's a certain sense of pride in every country that you may live in, I would think, unless it's a third world country where you're living in slavery. And yes, there is a tremendous amount of pride in the United States. And I don't know exactly where you draw the line there, but I would rather say and that instead of being proud to be an American, I am thankful to God that I am an American. I am thankful that He allowed me to be born in a country where we have such freedoms as we have. You know, what we're doing here this morning doesn't happen everywhere, folks. There are places that they're meeting in secret this morning. There are places that they've already met this morning because it's time zones ahead of us that they had to meet in secret. And I don't know that we can ever grasp that as Americans. It's too far for us. I have learned a lot from Pastor Wilson with his experience in the North and the culture shock. And folks, if the bad times hit here this hard, it's going to be a culture shock for you and I. And, you know, we can't live on the thought that, well, the Lord's going to take us out before anything happens. We don't know that. We don't exactly know that. We don't know how long it'll be before the Lord comes and how long we'll experience what we experience freely in this country today. We may be the ones meeting in secret one day. We may very well be. God will certainly... That will certainly thin out those who don't want to live for the Lord and serve Him. But nonetheless, pride and flattery go hand in hand. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. These people back in Psalm chapter 12 were pride. They were proud. They were haughty. And they were against God's people. In verse 4, there's a prevailing tongue. Verse 4 says, who has said with their tongue, we will prevail. We will prevail. Those who claim that they will prevail with their vile tongue will not prevail, but will be punished by the Lord, by God. God will take care of them. He will punish them. We'll see that in more verses as we go farther along here, but there's also in verse 4, there's a presumptuous tongue. It says here, our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? Many times today, under the vows of freedom of speech, it's often used to justify foulness in speech. How many times have you heard it on the news or whatever when there's some kind of protest of some sort that people are spouting out foulness and they say, well, we have freedom of speech. That's our freedom. We can do that. We can say that. But you know, they can say what they want, but God hears and God will hold them accountable. God sees through their wickedness and He will punish it because He is just, holy, and He hates evil. It was about, not yesterday, but the Saturday before, I took Nathan, I had the opportunity from the place where I work. We had a job in close to Shepherdstown, West Virginia, and the boss told me he found out that I burned firewood, and he said, hey, if you want wood, there's a bunch over at the Shepherd job. If you want it, take the truck, go over there, take the loader, load it up, and take it to your house. So I'll never turn down free wood. So I took Nathan and we went and we got a truck and a big 30-yard dumpster and we headed West Virginia. And now to get to the job, we go out 340 and cross over the river and head up Route 230, a couple miles to this job. Now, I personally, myself, had never been in that area any further than there and had never been to Shepherdstown. But the route home seemed a lot shorter if I went through Shepherdstown than it would if I come back to Frederick and then come back home. So being that it was late in the day, and him and I had been working, we had not had lunch, I said, we're going to snake through Shepherdstown. It looks a little couple tight turns on the GPS, but I think we can handle that. We're going to stop somewhere and get a bite to eat, and then we're going to head home. Now, I had heard stories before about Shepherdstown. I don't know what you all know about Shepherdstown. It's a college town, and it's full. Wait a minute. Is there anybody here from Shepherdstown? You're not going to admit it if you were. So it is full of lunatics because of this college. I'll call them lunatics. That's being nice. Little did I know. Well, I knew what day it was because I seen the banners, but No King's Day was last Saturday, and the rainbow flags cover that town, and Nathan and I felt like we were driving through Sodom and Gomorrah, and I'm not exaggerating to you. I would never in my life go that way again had I known what we were going to drive through. And, of course, the traffic was heavy. They lined the streets for blocks. And, of course, they're protesting President Trump. And you know, their flags were everywhere. And it was an eerie feeling. But yet, what were they doing? They were spouting off all this stuff. And they weren't just against President Trump, because it's not really against President Trump if you think about it. It's against God. President Trump is not God, but what he is trying to stand for is for right. And if you're standing for right, you're standing for God. And all their screams and taunts as we went through there, and of course they didn't know who we were, but we knew who they were. And they wanted, you know, you're in a truck, they want you to blow the horn and everything. And I'm like, I am never in a million years blowing the horn for this crowd. But what were they doing? They were spouting off. They had flattering lips. They were proud. They were totally against God. But they matched up right here with all this. So in verse 4, who has said with our tongue, we will prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? They're out there everywhere, but God will take care of them in his time. There is, in verse 5, we see that there is a purpose for the promise. It says here in verse 5, for the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I rise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy. That is the purpose of God's promise through these verses. He is to protect those who cannot protect themselves. But, you know, I make that statement, but yet I think about it. Can you really protect yourself? You know, we've went to great lengths over the last couple years to make sure that things are secure here at this building, and you should feel secure. There's men here that I have no doubt can take care of any situation that may arise at those doors back there. There's one of them sitting there watching the cameras the whole time that I'm sitting here to see if there's anything odd going on. We've got Captain Krause back there in the back to, you know, mow them down. But, you know, can you protect yourself? And I'm not necessarily talking about someone coming in here to shoot us up or whatever. But when I say that the oppression of the poor for the sighing of the needy, I say that God is protecting those who can't protect themselves, not necessarily talking about somebody coming in with a gun. But you and I, we really can. I mean, God's given us the abilities, and I'm glad he has. And I know that these men will go to great lengths to protect us in that way. But can we? Can we really protect ourselves? We can't do it. If we say that we can do it, we're back there in verse 4 with those people who say, hey, who's Lord over us? And that's part of being a Christian, realizing that you can't do it yourself. You can't protect yourself. Now, God doesn't want us to lay down our arms and be silent about everything, but yet he is there to protect us. But yet, in this situation here, and keeping this in context here, God says he's going to come to the rescue for the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy. Now will I arise. You know, that he says, now will I arise. That means there's a time that he's going to arise. Folks, there's a time that God will let us go through stuff and teach us things and allow us to grow in him. But there's a time where he's going to step up and say, enough's enough, when those wicked are oppressing us, however, whoever it may be. God will step in, just like he stepped in here for David and his people. He said, the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, God stepped in and took care of things. You can trust the Lord. He will take care of us. In this world, the victims of evil tongues are many, but God knows and he hears their cries. He will deliver them in his time, and he will punish those who have the vile tongues that persecute them. Back, turn a page back to Psalm chapter 10 and verse 12. It says here, arise, O Lord, O God, lift up thine hand, forget not the humble. Proverbs chapter 14. And verse 31. He that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker, but he that honoreth him He that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker, but he that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor. You see here, back in Psalm chapter 12, what was going on is they were oppressing the poor and the needy. And it wasn't just the fact that they were oppressing them, but what it was doing to God. It says here, he that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker. Those that would shout against the Lord, shake their fist in his hand, they reproach their maker. You know, you and I can't really understand that because we're not God. We see it, but we can't fully understand it, because do you realize none of us can say, you know, I created you, I made you, you're here because of me. I can't even really say that of my children, because God gave us the children. It wasn't us. me and my wife. He used me and my wife to and gave us children, but I can't, you know, I can't quote I'm not going to mention his name, but an actor from years ago, he used to say, "I brought you into this world, I'll take you out." We can't do that, but yet God is reproached when there is oppression on the poor, where they're saying this, he's reproached from that. When those things happen, it reproaches God. They reproach their maker. There's persuasion in this promise. We find that in verse 6 of our text. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace, purified 7 times. The persuasion for the promise here, the words of the Lord are pure words. The promise of God to punish the wicked words, to punish wicked words and protect the victims of vile words, is based on his words, which are the words with utmost character. You know, many times I don't know how many times I've heard these verses preached, verses 6 and 7. And as I studied this, I know they can be used, but I'm not sure, preacher, I don't know that they've really been pulled out of context, because as I read and study through here, verses 6 and 7 stuck out to me like, why are they here? It's just like, boom. Well, yeah, we know the words of the Lord are pure words. The silver tried in the furnace of the earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And then, boom, it goes back to the wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. And it took me a little while in studying this and reading what other men had said as well. But it's all part of this psalm. It's not a different part here. These verses 6 and 7 fall on the tail of what's happening here. They go together here with verse 5. For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, will I arise. Now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. How many times does it say there that he's going to arise? The Lord is going to arise. And then it just confirms his word down here in verses 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of the earth. Now, we could go on a whole series of messages about God's word being pure and being tried and purified. And we could use the example of the silver and how, and we're not going to go into all that. That's all that's interesting. But what I see here is God's words are trustworthy and they're true. Those that have been oppressed here, and David's giving comfort to, or God's giving comfort to David, saying, you know, you asked me for help back in verse 1 because of what's going on. And I know what's going on. I'm going to arise. I'm going to take care of this. And I can be trusted. My word is true. God's promises can be trusted. This fact should persuade and encourage people to believe his promises. We live in a day and age where people don't believe God's promises. They don't take this word, God's word, for anything different than any other book in the library. And if you don't take God's word to be faithful and true, you can't be saved. If you can't believe his word, you can't be saved. You've got to believe his word. You've got to trust him and his word. We'll look at one more text and we'll be done here. Probably going to split up next week between Psalms. I don't really like doing that, but I'm not going to shove it all down your throat here in a minute. It's Deuteronomy chapter 7. We'll finish here. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verses 9 and 10. says, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, and repayeth them that hate him to their face. To destroy them, he will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. The enemy that we were speaking of, the lying lips, the flattering lips, and the proud lips, and all those back in Psalm chapter 12, God will repay. We don't have to worry about that. God will take care of that. He will take care of those that have persecuted his people, have persecuted the poor and needy all these years. One day we'll stand before the Lord. But we need to know that there's persuasion in that promise that he has. We need to trust his word, folks. Just like they did back here in Deuteronomy. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God. And it could have stopped right there. But it went on and said, he keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. How many is that? That's a lot of generations. But also to know, verse 10, that he'll repay those that hate him. I'm glad that I'm not on that end of it. I'm glad I'm on the end of his faithfulness and his promises. Only because 40 years ago this week that I realized through the preaching of the Word of God that I was a sinner in need of a Savior, and that I bowed my heart, my head, my knee to him in my life, trusted him as my Savior. And I've seen him be faithful, true, all these years, and I thank him for it.